Let us pray. God of love, may we today join you on your holy mountain to co-create with you the vision of the new heaven on this earth in new ways. In your name we pray. Amen. So I have a little slideshow also, because since I introduced my godfather, I wanted to introduce a little bit of my family to you as well, because we're going to be talking about family in our sermon today. So Ken has it ready, and I think he can advance. So this is my childhood home in Ireland, and my bedroom dormer window is the second from the right, and that was where I grew up. And this side of the building is the house, and then the bottom part is the craft shop, and the lower shed is the workshop. So this is the old stone farmhouse. It's almost 200 years old. These are the looms that my parents wove the cloth on. So you can see these wooden structures. They're a little hard. The one in shadow is the big flying shuttle loom that my dad would weave tweed on. And the littler loom was my mum's loom. And it's a bit messy now. It's not as much used, but my mum still weaves just for fun. So that was, I grew up learning. I'm a weaver. By early training, I helped in my family's shop. I wove table mats and sold them and greeted customers. So that's where I roamed. This is the road. This is the stone wall outside my childhood home, my mum's house. That's the lake right in front of the house. And of course, it's November, so things are a little brown. But the glen, the valley, that lake, there's cows usually down there. Sheep up in the mountains. There's a mountain directly behind the house, and that's the Glen Road called Glenmore. And this little part of Glen is called Ichtercua, which is Gaelic for the place where the cuckoo comes, because it's right on the southwest coast, the first place where the cuckoo migrates to from Africa. That's the first place it's sound. So this, the pheasant, my mum feeds all kinds of birds. This is the biggest one. Her friend, the male pheasant, he comes every morning, often with his female companions. But that's him. Yes. And she loves her beds. The Irish rainbow, again, this is from the Glen. The double rainbow didn't quite show, but it was this beautiful arc in the rain as I was out for a walk one evening. This is my brother. I smushed the photo a little bit. So my brother, as you know, is recovering from brain trauma. When I go visit, he's in a Cheshire home. And if you advance to the next slide, you'll see him outside his new apartment. Here's where I was helping him move into. And there he is in his wheelchair, and he's making great progress. So we're delighted. He lives about an hour's drive from our childhood home in Ireland. So that's my brother, Mark. He got a good New Testament gospel name. Here's my mum. And this is in the Priory in Killarney, and she is buying her mass card for a dear friend who had just passed away. And I love this photograph because it is her tenderness. She's a deeply caring person. And for her to go and ask for prayers, this is an Irish tradition, Irish Catholic in particular. I know it's done here in the U.S. too. But, you know, standing in line to ask in a community for prayers to lift up people is very important. And I don't remember. Is that the last one, Ken? Yep. Okay. You can, yeah, perfect. Thank you. So that's my family, just a little introduction, so you know sort of where I was and what I was doing and who I was visiting. And along with the family theme and the new heaven and the new earth, there was a film that I watched recently that just brought my own family very much to mind, and it's a film called The Music Never Stopped. Have you heard of this? Okay, so I found it on Amazon because, you know, I just needed something to watch and relax with, and I was like, ooh, that sounded good. And it turned out to be exactly what I needed to see that evening. But it's this lovely story about a family, a retired mechanical engineer and his wife. And they fell in love and started their family in the 50s. And then in the 60s was when their teenage son was coming of age, right around the time of the Vietnam War and the Beatles and the Grateful Dead. And when the dad and the son were, when the son was very little, 7 or 8, the dad had this incredible love of music, and they would listen to songs together, and the dad and the son really bonded over sharing the songs, but not just the songs, but the stories associated with the songs, like the song that his dad fell in love with his mother to, or, you know, their first Christmas. There are all these family stories. And then as the son entered teenage, he went through our usual, you know, teenage rebellion, and the Grateful Dead was really awesome, and the dad felt a little left out. He was a more conservative gentleman, and he thought that his son's wanting to sing in the band and, you know, protest the war instead of support the soldiers. He thought it was unpatriotic, and there was conflict. And so one evening, the dad and the son have this big argument because it was during a flag burning, and the son's name, Gabriel, he was named after an uncle who had served, and the dad was like, "You're disrespecting family." And so and the son left. He was like 17 or 18 at the time. Then the film skips forward, and the son is in a hospital bed. He's been found because he's on the streets, and it turns out he has a brain tumor. So they remove the tumor, but of course he has brain damage. And of course this is the part that resonates with my own story. I can totally, you know, relate to that part. And then so the parents haven't seen their son for years. There's this gap of almost 20 years has passed. They're seeing their son again for the first time. And he has, at this juncture, no ability to make long-term memories. He's lost that. And he has some memories, but because of the brain damage and the brain trauma, he just kind of sits, and they're not quite sure how to get to him or to, you know, they don't know who he is anymore, what he knows. And one day they notice that he responds, notices that he responds to a song. And all of a sudden, it's like is it the Marseillaise? It turns on the radio and he has a response and then he comes back into himself. But they're like, okay, so they get a music therapist. And the music therapist works with him. And then she realizes, and she plays the Marseillaise, the classic version, classical. And he comes alive for the first few beats, then he comes back in. He's like that. And she's like, what was that? And then she discovered that it was the first beats of the Marseillaise on the Beatles version that introduces their song. And then all of a sudden he stands up and he starts talking about what the song meant to him. And the memories are intact. And because he heard the song that he recognized in love, his full personality came out. And he was living in that moment at that time with that story. So he didn't remember the gaps, but he remembered that moment. And so gradually, they play all the songs he loves. Dad has some trouble, though, right? At first, when they realize this brings back painful memories. He's like, oh, no. He fires the musical therapist because he's like, that's too much. And he doesn't want his son to be re-exposed to these things that he felt were destroying his son at the time. So the mom steps in. She tells dad that he's being a little pig-headed. She moves into another bedroom for a little while. And everybody just sits with that for a time. So dad has to think about this. And you can see in the movie, it does a really beautiful job. He has to sit and think. He's like, Next thing you know, he goes into the record shop with all his old 50s records. He trades them in for all the records from the 60s. And he plays the music while he's doing dishes. And he goes to his son's room and plays them with his son and watches his son came to life with all these songs that his son loved and played with his band. And suddenly sees his son for the first time. And the story has this beautiful, poignant ending because the son can't make new memories, right? So every day he meets the lovely person who serves his food, lovely young woman, falls in love with her. But every day, he's meeting her for the first time and sings to her, "Cecilia, you're breaking my heart." You know, because he remembers the song, and you know, her name is Cecilia, totally. So every day. But the song ends, the dad, there's this radio competition of if you, you know, call fast enough, maybe you can win two tickets to a sold-out Grateful Dead concert. And all of a sudden, dad is just ringing that number every chance he gets. And sure enough, he wins the tickets. Magic. So they bring their son home from Christmas, present him with these tickets. They go to the Grateful Dead concert, and the poor dad is like, oh, my God. But again, the son feels totally in his element. because he's living in the moment. He's wearing the hats and the tie-dye shirts, and he's, you know, high-fiving everybody. He's totally just happy. And they go to the concert. They listen to the music. They go home. And that episode, they stay up all night. The dad is grooving. Because the dad knows when he leaves that door, that memory might be gone. He will keep it, but the son might not. And then toward the end, the dad has a heart attack. And so, of course, they let the son know. And then half an hour later, they let him know again. Because he can't remember. And they're going to the funeral. And there's this lovely thing. They're all the community is at the graveside. And the priest says, I would like you to listen to this song. Henry wanted you all to hear it. Just listen and be with it. They bring out the cassette recorder. They put it right by his graveside, and they play a Grateful Dead song. And since I'm just as ignorant as the dad was about Grateful Dead songs, I can't tell you which one it was. But it was fascinating because the son could access the memory of being there with his dad because it was in the musical parts of his memory. And so in that moment, he was able to, one, hold the knowledge that his dad was dead and hold all the grief and connection that he could access in that moment. Such a holy and profound moment. So beautiful. And then you see them, his mom and his dad, arm in arm, not mom and himself, Gabriel the boy and his mom, just arm in arm. And the last thing you hear them say is, yeah, your dad passed away, Gabriel. It's not a perfect ending, but it is as perfect as humanly and heavenly possible, given the constraints that this family is facing. But there are all of these transitions that happened in that moment. You know, this, where is God, like Isaiah talks about creating the new heaven and the new earth with us? And how is the divine, working with us in our own lives and in our families, breaking open those opportunities to seize the moment, to seize the joy that we can? And so there's these shifts, you know, how we're responsible for claiming our joy. Where the dad, Henry, he had to struggle a little bit. He had to let go. He had to face awful pain of realizing that he had contributed to driving his son away and driving that wedge in and coming to terms with that. And open to all of that pain. But the joy that resulted just transformed their lives. And in those moments where they could seize that joy, they seized it. They could access it. They could share it. They could share these holy moments in these profound times. So, as you know, we all come to our lives with these places in us and in our families where there are wedges, maybe there are things lost, maybe there are things said. You know, what are those things in us? I have them in my family. So when I go home to my mom, how I relate, I left home when I was 17. My mom didn't really see me much because I was here. And she took a while to get, you know, past that. So again, this story I relate to because when I go home now, there is all of this joy, and we seize those moments, and we party in our own way. My mom, you know, was a little bit out of her element sometimes, just like in that movie. But that is how I see God and where I recognize God. And I bet that if we sit even here in this moment and we think of where God is right now in our lives, and where God is beckoning us to flow into and calling our names and say, please step toward me. Please step toward joy. Seize the day. Seize this moment because this is what we have right now. So I invite us to do that. Let's do it. Let's seize the day. Let's create the new heaven and the new earth. And it's not going to be perfect, but in seizing the joy and in seizing the moment, it will be perfect in all its imperfection, and God will meet us there, and we will meet each other there. In God's name, and in the name of joy, Amen.